morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hope we're all doing well on this nice and dreary, rainy morning. Our focus in our passage this morning is Genesis chapter 9. So if you go ahead and flip there to specifically verses 2 through 17. Imagine with me for a moment a world swallowed by torrential waters of a global flood. A world where only a chosen few, a world where only a chosen few, led by Noah, found refuge in an ark of safety. Today we dive into the aftermath of the cataclysmic event, where the sun breaks through the clouds and the first colors of the new beginning paint the sky. In the aftermath of chaos, God extends his hand in covenant to Noah, marking the birth of a promise that stretches across the ages. The story isn't merely about rainbows and pledges. It's about a divine commitment that echoes through history, resonating with each of us in our journeys through life's storms. As we embark on this voyage of verses 2 through 17, uncovering the layers of God's covenant, a covenant that goes beyond the storm, beyond the flood, and speaks directly to the depths of our souls. In the biblical context, a covenant is a mutual binding agreement between God and his people. It establishes a special relationship, outlining the terms and conditions of that relationship. I'd like to provide a few key points of significance of a covenant. First is, a covenant often includes promises made by God to his people, such as protection, provision, guidance, and blessing. God's faithfulness to fulfill these promises establishes a sense of trust and a security for his people. A covenant also places responsibilities on the human side. It requires obedience, loyalty, worship, and adherence to God's commandments. In this sense, covenant calls for a reciprocal relationship, as God expects his people to honor their part of the agreement. Thirdly, covenant establishes a sense of collective identity and community among God's people. It creates a bond that goes beyond individual faith and fosters a shared sense of purpose and belonging. Fourth, in some cases, a covenant serves as a means of restoring or redeeming a relationship that has been broken. Through the covenant, God provides a way of reconciliation and the opportunity for his people to return to a right relationship with him. And lastly, a covenant often carries a sense of continuity from generation to generation. It establishes a lasting, enduring relationship between God and his people that transcends time. Overall, it signifies a deep commitment and intimate relationship with God, between God and between us, where both parties have roles to play. It establishes a foundation for trust, responsibility, and a sense of belonging to the community of God's chosen people. As I said earlier, our passage this morning is chapter 9, verses 2 through 17. So if you'll follow along with me as I read through that. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground, and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you, and as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. And for your lifeblood I require a reckoning. From every beast I will require it, and from man. From his fellow man I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. And you, be fruitful and multiply, increase greatly on the earth, and multiply in it. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you. As many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. And never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For all future generations, I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Let's pray. Dear God, we come to you today in full hopes of learning more about you and understanding a deeper relationship with you. God, I just ask that you open our hearts and our ears and our minds to receive what is in your word. Allow us to look at this with no biases, nothing that we bring to the table, but allow it to speak to us. Allow your word to speak to us. And allow us to interpret it how it was written. And God, we thank you for the opportunity to meet together, to go out into this community and to spread your word and to learn more about you here so that we can do that. And we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our first bulk of passages verses that I want to focus on is 2 through 7. Within these verses, we see that God has reestablished the authority that man has over all creatures. He has reestablished dominion for man, as well as gifting a similar blessing to Noah and his family that Adam and Eve received. We see this in Genesis 1, verse 28. It says, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Noah and his family have been commissioned by God to be fruitful, to multiply, and to fill the earth, which is the same thing that Adam and Eve were told. It makes sense because at this time, Noah and his family are the only living humans that are on the earth. So, in other words, it has to be done, or else we would not be here. The difference between these two blessings comes in verse 2 and 3. All creatures that were on the earth were given a fear and dread of humans. This reason for fear is shown specifically in verse 3, in which it says, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I give you the green plants, I give you everything. The beasts fear us because God has given them to us as food, which again is reestablishing the dominion, is placing us at the top of the food chain. This is the first time in the Bible, up to this point, that we see God explicitly say that animals can be used as food, or used for food. Now, it is implied or believed that people used them for food before this point, but God had not explicitly allowed or affirmed it. The end of verse 3 is a small reference to what God told Adam and Eve, what he told them was okay for them to eat as food. And we see this in verse 29 of chapter 1. And he said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. So again, we see a difference in blessing between Adam and Eve and Noah and his family. I think that the reason for this difference in the dominion and food is because of the fall, when sin was first introduced in the world. I mean, if you think about it, before the first sin, Adam and Eve are told that there is to be vegetation and there is to be fruit from the garden, and they are to rule over the animals in an almost harmonious way. Then, after the fall, they are kicked out of the garden in which the place that provided their food, and everything changes. You can imagine that as time passes, the relationship between man and beast grows different and becomes less peaceful. The animals more than likely start to fear humans, start not to fear humans, and begin attacking them and each other. Basically, what I'm trying to get at is through this blessing to Noah and his family, God is placing man in a dominion stage over all beasts of the earth again. Our next section is 4 through 7, in which it covers boundaries and accountability. Within these verses, we begin to see the sanctity of life revealed. Noah and his family are given boundaries along with this new blessing of food. They should not eat meat that still contains blood. In the Old Testament, blood is believed or is often equated with life. We see this plainly stated in Leviticus 17, verse 11. It says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you for an altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life." Verses 5 and 6 show the importance and the sacredness of life. God tells Noah and his family that human life is so sacred to the point of there being a reckoning if someone is killed by an animal or another person. Basically, life is required as payment for life. In these verses introduce the idea of capital punishment, which is also known as the death penalty, and reiterates the importance of human life. We then see this reworded and reiterated more simply in verse 6 in the form of a poem. The fact that it is in a poem helps us to see the importance. And sometimes it makes it a little easier to remember if it's written nicely and poetically. At the end of the poem in verse 6, we see that God is made man in his own image. What does that mean, to be made in God's image? The concept of being made in the image is found in the book of Genesis. There are a few key points or interpretations that come about when referring to God as man being made in God's image. The first is Imago Dei, which is Latin for image of God. Is a concept that humans possess a special dignity and worth because we are created in God's image. This means that humans have inherent value, dignity, and qualities that reflect God's character and attributes. Next is being made in God's image is often associated with human, intellectual, and rational capacities. These abilities should allow us to think, reason, make choices, and exercise free will, which differentiate us from the other creatures. Humans have the capacity to understand abstract concepts, engage in moral reasoning, debates, arguments, apologetics, and pursue knowledge and wisdom. Next, the image of God also encompasses moral and relational aspects. We possess a conscience and the ability to distinguish right from wrong, which allows us to make moral choices. Additionally, we have the capacity for relationships, for love, for wisdom, and for goodness. Overall, the concept of being made in God's image signifies a unique value and purpose God has given and gifted to humanity. It speaks to humans' higher capacities, their responsibilities morally, and a relational nature. It encourages believers to recognize the inherent worth of every human being and to strive towards reflecting God's character and fulfilling their intended purposes in the world. Next, we'll go through 8 through 11. God extends the covenant to every living creature. demonstrating his inclusive and merciful nature. The covenant is not limited to certain individuals or specific groups. Rather, it encompasses all of creation. It reveals God's desire to establish a relationship with humanity and his enduring commitment to his entire creation. Verse 9 shows that this covenant that God is making also applies to us today, because it adds your offspring after you. If you're using the ESV or if you're using the NLT, you'll see it says your descendants. And it's not just us, as in those in this room or those in the Christian belief, but also as us in the world, believers and non-believers together, all of creation. It is a gift and a grace that has been given to us. So we should have faith to know that the earth will never again flood globally. Now it is important to notice the globally aspect of this. Yes, places locally may have some floodings, as you see in the news, especially now with all this extra rain. It's pretty much all over the place. But it's comforting to know that there will never be another destruction quite like the Great Flood ever again. The universal scope of this covenant should deepen our understanding of God and his commitment. It displays his intention to preserve and care for his creation, ensuring its continuation through the generations. This highlights the immensity of God's love, his desire for all to experience his grace. Our next section we're going to focus on is verses 12 through 17, which is the symbolism of the rainbow, or the sign of the rainbow. The rainbow becomes a visible sign of the covenant, representing God's promise to no longer flood the earth. Just as God halted the destruction of the floodwaters, the rainbow serves as a reminder of his faithfulness and his mercy. Its vibrant colors, Roy G. Biv, as we learned in school, embody hope and renewal, illuminating the skies after a storm, showing the beauty after the chaos. Now, some people like the storm. I, on my side, I enjoy a thunderstorm. It's, for some reason, peaceful. Other people terrified of it. A lot of animals, I believe, kind of terrified of it. And I don't know if anyone has seen the old video that was back in 2010. It went viral. It was about a guy who was at, I believe it was Yosemite Park or something, and he saw a double rainbow. Just looking off your faces, I guess nobody's seen the video. But there's a video where this guy, and he sees, I don't know if you, have you ever seen a double rainbow before? And so I guess it was the first time he's ever seen it. And he just started freaking out. He's like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And they actually, they made memes of it. They made viral videos of what's the word? When they modulate your voice, can't think of what the word is right now. Anyway, anytime that I see a rainbow nowadays, I think of that video, just because I laugh so much of it, and just the joy that guy had of just seeing a simple double rainbow. I think I don't smile at it just because of the sight of a rainbow, and especially double rainbow, which is pretty cool looking, to be honest. I smile because of the joy that the man in that video showed. It was a true, authentic reaction to something that he had never seen. A beauty that God had created. Now, I don't know if this man is a Christian or not, or where he is aligned with all that, but this shows that creation shows and provides joy to a lot of people. Why can't we all share in a joy like that at the simplest things in life? I know in today's world, it's a little more challenging because we're so busy all the time and we begin to lose sight of the creation of God, especially in today where it's dark and dreary and Everybody just wants to be inside. But even in this dark and dreariness, there's light. And maybe if we're lucky, we'll even see a rainbow as we live today. We have the hope of eternity and the peace in knowing that there will never be a devastation like the flood that Noah and his family witnessed and were a part of. We have a real reason to have this joy and this peace. We have the reason to be joyous. The presence of the rainbow should serve as a continual reminder of God's faithfulness, of God's mercy, and enduring commitment. Every time that we witness a rainbow, we are invited to reflect on the reliability, the faithfulness, and I'm not sure if this is a word, but the unwaveringness of God's promises. It is a visual testament to God's loving nature and the covenant relationship he has established with humanity. Back to the image of God, and which is seen in verse 6, God emphasizes the sacredness of human life by grounding it in the divine image. The inherent worth and dignity of every individual stems from being created in God's likeness. Just let that sink in for a moment. The God of the universe, the God who created everything, made you. Through all your flaws, through all your sins, through all your happiness and joys and depressions and everything, in his image. Simply put, being made in God's image means that we possess an inherent value reflecting God's character and his attributes. It includes the capacity for us to think, reason, make choices. It also involves having a conscience, the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. Now, more than likely and often than not, we usually choose more towards the wrong side because it benefits us. It also gives us the capacity for relationships, for love, for compassion, and for community. Additionally, being made in God's image includes the responsibility to care for and responsibly steward the earth and its creatures. This truth shows the incredible value of God that God places on human life. And it should guide our treatment and regard for one another. Every single person that we run into our daily lives are created by God and deserve to at least be treated with respect, love, and care, regardless of how they treat you and those around you. So think about that as you're driving on the highway and someone cuts you off or someone is being stupid on the road, which happens a lot more than you think. Just show them love and grace, because God has showed us love and he has showed us grace. Now, as a side note, if people that you're around are not believers or are not actively seeking a close life with God, then I encourage you to still show love and respect to them, but do not allow them to breathe into your life. In other words, do not allow them to influence you, which is so easy nowadays with all of social media. It's so easy to be caught up in everything of the world, really, especially all the bad. Only allow those who claim to walk the narrow path and seek to live a sacrificial life for the glory of God. Allow them to influence you and encourage you and breathe life into you or breathe into your life. In verse 7, we again are reiterated to multiply and fill the earth. Despite the consequences of sin, God's purpose for humanity remains constant. The covenant reminds us of God's desire for us to multiply and to fill the earth, cooperating with him in the continuation of his redemptive plan. This covenant that God gives to Noah signifies his commitment to life, his commitment to redemption, and to the ultimate restoration of all things. Through this repopulation of Noah and his family, we are eventually given freedom and eternal life through Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Everything leading up to this moment, up to this covenant with Noah and his family, has had to happen so that Jesus could free us from the chains of bondage and of sin. Taking a step back, you can see how beautiful it all is, how it's so woven together and creates a beautiful picture of redemption. From the chaos of the flood to the redemption that is in Jesus. We have such a wonderful and loving God. No matter whether you believe it or not, I pray that the Holy Spirit works on your heart, either to soften it towards repentance, or, again, I don't know if this is a word either, inflame it, probably better yet, ignite it, towards passion and zeal for truth of God. There are a few applicable points that we can draw from this passage that we have gone through. The first is a faithfulness in God's promises. Just as God made a covenant with Noah and promised not to destroy the earth by a flood again, this passage reminds us that reminds believers of God's faithfulness in keeping his promises. It offers reassurance that God can be trusted to fulfill his word and provides encouragement to rely on his faithfulness in all areas of our life. Secondly, stewardship of creation. This passage can also inspire believers to be good stewards of the earth. Since God gave humans dominion over creation, it emphasizes the responsibility to care for it and to protect it. So recycle. And thirdly, respect for life, which is highlighted in 5-6. The sanctity of human life. And it states that, 5-6 states that whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. This underscores the importance of valuing and respecting all human lives, promoting justice and striving to prevent violence and harm. This can extend to advocating for the rights of and well-being of all individuals, seeking peaceful solutions to conflicts and working towards social justices. Especially, just be kind to others. Have respect for their life and pray that they have respect for yours. And lastly, a covenant relationship with God. The covenant established by God with Noah can serve as a reminder of the importance of having a personal relationship with God. Just as God initiated a relationship with Noah and his family, believers are called to pursue a meaningful connection with him through prayer, through worship, and by living according to his will and what he has told us to do. In closing, the covenant God made with Noah is not merely a historical event, but an ongoing testament and testimony to God's character and his redemptive plan. As we look to the rainbow, may it be a symbol not only of God's promise, but of our responsibility to steward as stewards of his creation. Let us live in obedience to his commands appreciating the sanctity of life and participating in God's unfolding plan for humanity. Today, we gather with hearts full of gratitude and awe for the covenant of our God that he made with Noah and with all future generations. In this text we witnessed his faithfulness, his unwavering commitment to the promises that he makes. And I just ask that we embrace and trust in God's faithfulness within our own lives. Just as God preserved Noah through the flood, he will faithfully guide and lead us through the challenges that we face today. Amidst trials and difficult situations and times that we go through, we can just rely on the fact that he is unchanging in his character and in his promises, knowing that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Because the fact that God has never broken a promise, it remains true. We can trust that he never will, and that all promises that he has made will be made true and come to pass. But this passage holds more than just a reassurance. It calls us to action, to be good stewards of the environment and of those around us and everything that he's entrusted with us. Our love for God should be reflected in our care and our stewardship for what he has created and what he has gifted to us. By being responsible stewards, we honor the covenant and demonstrate our gratitude for the gift of life. It's important to remember that being stewards means that we own nothing. And we owe everything. So let us remain thankful for those that we gain, and remain thankful for those that we lose. Because we still have the ultimate gift of grace, which is eternity with the one who created us and created everything. Additionally, the sanctity of life resonates deeply in these verses. We're reminded of the value that God places on all of human life. So let us extend our arms in love and compassion and justice towards those we know and those we do not. Together, we can create a community that reflects the heart of God and the heart of God for humanity. We can be a light in the dark. Finally, let us be encouraged to cultivate an intimate and transformative covenant relationship with God. Just as he initiated a covenant with Noah, he seeks a personal relationship with you, each one of us. Again, through prayer, worship, and obedience to his will, we can deepen this relationship, and through the study of his word. Let us stand firm in the faithfulness of our God, be devoted stewards of his creation, champions of life, and fervent pursuers of a deep relationship with him. In doing so, we live out the timeless truths of this passage, becoming a beacon of hope and love in our world, in our communities, in this day. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the depths of your word that continually reveal your character and your purpose for us in our lives. As we reflect in the coming days on a covenant with Noah, may we find inspiration and guidance in your journey of faith. Help us to live in accordance with your will and embrace the sanctity of life and participating in your redemptive plan. In Jesus' name, amen.